T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Meanwhile, from the bad hombres file, Lee.
Okay.
And I've been wondering for a while how long it would be, given how comfortably the cartels are now allowed to, you know, bring people in, operate here, human traffic, all this kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Before we would begin seeing the kind of stuff that you only used to see in Mexico here.
Yeah.
And we're here. One of the most shocking things reported by CBS News. If you've, you know, ever heard the legend about Mexican jails, I mean, they are run by the cartels. They're not about, you know, jailing, justice reform, all of that kind of stuff. I mean, the whole legal system over there is run by the Mexican cartels and the politicians that they own and control. And so one of the most shocking things that I have seen is the beginning of this in California, where you have cartels, Mexican mafia running in, you know, moving in and beginning to take over institutions here as they have in Mexico. This is CBS News, okay? Not me, not some right-wing side. This is CBS News. Feds, this is the headline. Feds, Mexican mafia runs California jails like an illegal government.
Wait. California jails?
Mm-hmm.
The Mexican drug cartels.
Yeah.
Which is another sovereign nation south of this country. And they're running the prisons in the state of California?
Mm-hmm.
CBS News reporting
CBS
that.
News. Yep. May 24th, 2018.
So the Mexicans are meddling in our justice system.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Okay.
This is Dateline Los Angeles. Los Angeles County jails are technically run by the sheriff, but the Mexican mafia wields the power in the underworld behind bars. They collect taxes on the drugs that are smuggled in. They control the cantina completely and collect taxes on that. They order hits on people inside who don't follow their rules and even call the shots on street crimes from inside and outside of the jail system, federal prosecutors said Wednesday. The 83 members and associates were charged in a pair of sweeping federal racketeering conspiracies that alleged drug dealing, extortion, violent assaults, and murders. And the whole premise of this is the reason they went RICO with this is because they're basically saying, look, the Mexican mafia has moved here and they're beginning to control the jails here.
And apparently the state of California is not able to control that either.
No. I mean, when you have CBS opening with a paragraph that says the sheriff is no longer in control of the jail except in name in Los Angeles. Stunning. And you're beginning to see crimes that you would only hear about in Mexico, like this headline. Men linked to Mexican drug cartel, including one illegal immigrant, beheaded a 13-year-old special needs girl. Oh, that's terrible. Where? In Juarez? No, Alabama. Wait, what? Two men associated with a brutal Mexican cartel, one of whom is an illegal immigrant, are responsible for beheading a 13-year-old girl with special needs and murdering her grandmother. By the way, Snopes rates this true. Just so you know, it's all over the mainstream media, too. It's everywhere. Authorities say Yanni Aguilar and Israel Gonzalez Palomino murdered Aurelia Mendoza and her granddaughter, Maria Lopez, because they didn't trust Mendoza after she exhibited what they called suspicious activity during a recent drug running trip to a small town in northeast Atlanta.
Oh, lovely. So it's not just in Alabama, then it's also next door in Georgia.
The group runs drugs for the Sinaloa cartel, the largest organized crime syndicate in the world. Police say Mendoza, who had deep connections to the cartel, they had begun to distrust her. And so they, watched her, made her granddaughter watch as she was murdered, and then they beheaded her. Alabama.
But Tara, we're always told that this type of activity that's not true, that this is just Trump making up stuff.
Right.
Right.
Uh-huh. Meanwhile, headline, let's see, what is this one? This is NBC. Chainsaw attack suspect was removed from the U.S. 11 times, according to ICE. A man arrested and accused of using a chainsaw to attack his wife had been removed from the United States 11 times since 2005, immigration officials confirmed Friday. Alejandro Alvarez Villegas, 32, was arrested in Chula Vista, California, on allegations he tried to kill his wife with a chainsaw in front of their 3 children.
So I guess it's arrest, deport, repeat.
Yeah.
Repeat, 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 repeat.
Repeat, 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 repeat. So, I mean, the wheels are literally coming off at the border. I mean, there's no other way to put that. Meantime, ICE reporting, 1 in 5 of, you know, 1 in 5 illegal immigrants caught crossing with kids are criminals. 1 in 5. Alien adults crossing the United States-Mexico border with toddlers under the age of 5 are either criminals, not the child's parent, or present some other danger to the child.
You mean besides the crime of crossing the border of a sovereign nation illegally?
Right, exactly. When they could apply for asylum and not be separated from the child. Yeah. You know what I think is so interesting about this? I was thinking about this over the weekend, that, you know, we're seeing the outrage and the sadness and the tears on television are very selectively. They're only for the separation of the kids from the parents. But when you've got kids being used at the border as tickets into the country because of the Flores decision, there is no crying. In fact, there's no reporting of it.
Yeah,
it's just completely ignored. Got another interview Fox News did out of McAllen, Texas. This one with Deputy Chief Patrol Agent Raul Ortiz with ICE. Says he's seeing a growing number of migrant children crossing the border with people pretending to be their parents. And this is because the word is spreading, thanks to the liberal news media about the Flores Agreement. And that limits the amount of time U.S. officials can detain immigrant children. So, I mean, you got one of these kids, they'll let you out after 20 days.
Pardon me for being stereotypical, but isn't it interesting how many times that we talk about ICE and there are people who are working the southern border who have Hispanic-sounding names?
Yeah. Well, they're Americans. I mean, they legally
work
for the
federal government. Well, exactly. That's exactly. But they may be of Hispanic heritage.
Yeah.
So, and if, you know, you've got these people of Hispanic heritage who obviously have some compassion for folks from their ethnicity and their past, and they're doing the work of the United States government and following the president of the United States and then enforcement of the borders.
Yeah, and they're incredibly frustrated.
And they're exactly
watching the abuse of children on our border.
My point, yeah.
That you'll never catch Rachel Maddow crying over. She's only going to cry if they're separated from the parents. Recently, Border Patrol agents rescued a 4-month-old Honduran child from a man falsely identifying himself as her father. In an interview with officials, he admitted purchasing fraudulent documents. Agents later discovered it wasn't the illegal immigrant's first time using a child to avoid long-term federal custody. In 2013, records revealed he smuggled an 8-year-old child across the border, claiming at that time that he was also the father. They were released from federal custody because they received a family unit designation under Obama, but nobody knows if he was that child's father. He was not the father of the 4-month-old Honduran child who was then abandoned by him at the border.
4-month-old.
Yep.
4 months.
I guarantee you, Lee, he bought the child when he bought the papers.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He bought the child when he bought the papers.
Yeah.
This is what the left, when they defend this, is doing. And the Republican leadership,
this.
Too.
They're ignoring this.
It's heartbreaking.
And yet
it's
they want to accuse Trump of lying every time his lips are moving. But yet when he talks about this, he's accurate.
And the sickest thing of all, as I've been pointing out, we had 2 liberal judges in the last week. One that ruled, and I talked about these rulings essentially make our borders wide open right now. If you can get yourself a kid, any kid.
Yeah.
Because they were not done DNA testing the kids and the parents. And the judge ordered Trump to stop the DNA testing and just go ahead and reunite everybody. And the Trump administration was in court ordering, arguing, look, 1 of 5. I mean, these kids are in danger with who they're with. We got to keep testing them. And the judge said, no, let them go. No DNA testing. Just let everybody go. God knows what's going to happen to these kids. And the Trump administration, the Department of Homeland Security, so far, I don't know what the status is today because I couldn't find it over the weekend. But as of end of last week, we're defying the judge and continuing with the DNA testing. They have to, Lee.
How else can you identify?
Because the first time they screw up and let a child sex trafficker go with a child, you know, Rachel Maddow is going to be back on television crying.
Yeah, and there'll be some attorney from some state or attorney general.
Saying you don't
general.
Care about kids.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And then suing the federal government over it.
Yeah. And the point about this is just to point out the left doesn't care about children.
No.
If they did, they would want them all DNA tested. Yeah. They don't. And I mean, you heard Elizabeth Warren toward the end of last week wailing on Trump for bothering to DNA test him, that this was an atrocity.
If the left really cared about these children, they would join the president in enforcing the border and stop enticing people to cross the border illegally. That's what you would do. That's the cause of this. It is not Donald Trump. It is not ICE. It is people who are enticed to come into this country illegally for financial benefit and other gain.
Yep. And what's even more, what's even sicker is they're now being enticed to use a child to do it.
Yes.
Knowing full well, because of these judges' two back-to-back rulings, if you've got a child under five, they have to let you go immediately. If you've got a child over five, they can only detain you for 20 days. You got a kid? It's welcome to America. Any kid, just buy one. Pick one up at the store or wherever they sell them. Location closest to you. I mean, that's where we are right now. And they don't care. They don't care. That's the part they don't report. It's only, oh, they got separated. Well, let's hear the story behind the separation. Nope, we don't want to talk about it. And they're driving this with this coverage. They're making this worse. And they don't care. It's all about the votes for them. They don't care about anything else. All right. Coming up, more fecal matter than ever. Where you say, D.C.? No, streets of California, San Francisco to be exact. What does the new mayor have to say about this? That'll crack you up. And a real game changer, a shocking statement over the weekend by one of the most listened to financial forecasters on earth about Trump's tariffs and the supposed trade war. You're going to want to hear all of this coming up next. Texter writes, why is someone who abandons a four-month-old not charged with first-degree attempted murder? You know, that's an excellent question. I don't know about attempted murder, but kidnapping? Be a good place to start. Hey, claim the kid was yours. They're not. Immigration benefit fraud? Something. Can we come up with something? Apparently not. We're talking about that illegal immigrant caught for the second time with yet another child. This one is not his. He says he bought his false documents. Trying to pass his way into the U.S., did he buy the kid? Kid's not his. He was claiming, oh, you can't stop me. I have a kid. Any kid. 4-month-old. Can you imagine? Texter writes, Tara, no illegal man, period, should be able to cross our border. Neither the children who are with them. They should all be turned away. Yeah, they should. The idea that they have to be released into this country is outrageous. It is. But I want to get to this really quickly. I don't know if you know who Mohammed El Arian is or how big of a deal what happened over the weekend was. Mohammed El Arian is one of two bond kings, one of the world's foremost financial prognosticators, like ever. When he speaks, people listen. And so it was a huge deal. He and Bill Gross are probably, you know, two absolute legends. And that's not just me. That's CNBC. When he speaks about Trump's trade war, people listen to what he has to say. Let me give you the props on him first. This is the host at CNBC talking to Mohammed El Arian and setting up the question that comes next. Take a listen.
And your predictions tend to be accurate, so one could call them tomorrow's headlines. We're going to kick it up here.
Your predictions tend to be accurate. Some call them, you know, could be called tomorrow's headlines. Huh. So the first thing she wants to know is, will we win the trade war? Because the established thought on this is it's just a disaster and Trump doesn't know what he's doing. Well, Mohammed El Arian does know what he's doing when it comes to finances. What did he have to say? I tell you what, this made heads spin over the weekend.
Who is winning the trade war? Are we?
So in relative terms, we are winning and we will win the trade war. And I think just look at the performance of U.S. markets relative to China and relative to others. That is consistent. The more interesting question is what happens in absolute terms. And I think what the market has priced in is the following, that the tit for tat continues, but ultimately it doesn't lead to a full-blown trade war, that we get still free but fairer trade.
Wait, what? I'm sorry. We get still free but fair trade and we win the trade war? I can't tell you how big of a deal this was over the weekend. Again, this is just not some talking head on CNBC. When this guy talks, everybody listens. He went on and continued. This is a bombshell of epic proportions.
At the end of the day, the U.S. will prevail because it's a less open economy.
And when he says it's a less open economy, he's talking about China here. See, China is a less open economy.
Because it's a more dynamic economy.
We're the more dynamic economy.
But ultimately, you may end up in a situation where the U.S. position in global economic terms is better off.
Wow. That was a financial shot heard around the world. And this is what I keep saying about the coverage. It drives me insane, especially local coverages. Why could it be bad for this, this, and that, and that, and this, and that, and it? Well, is there an upside? Oh. Well, no, there can't be an upside. It's Trump. Well, no, but is there an upside? He said, yeah, there's an upside. It could be huge. And Mohammed El-Erian goes on to say, and again, this is one of the most respected financial prognosticators on earth. When he speaks, people listen because of his record of getting it right. And he talked about what Trump is doing on trade right now with the tariffs, you know, with this carefully calculated, I don't want to call it a trade war because it hasn't come to that yet. He called this Trump's Reagan moment. And the CNBC, you know, the talking head, the host, it's Reagan's moment. What do you mean by this is Trump's Reagan moment? What are you talking about? And he explained it this way while explaining why he believes, why he is predicting we will win the trade war and the U.S. will be better off financially. Take a listen.
I'm referring to the decision that President Reagan took to have a race on military buildup with the then Soviet Union, with what he called the evil empire. Were there risks to that approach? Massive risks. But at the end of the day, because the U.S. was sure to win that war, as long as those risks were managed, you ended up with changing the landscape of Europe and changing the position of the U.S. And I think that one of the upside risks, it is a tail, but one of the upside risks is that you may end up changing the global landscape in a way that favors the U.S. because countries will realize that if we slip into a trade war, while everybody suffers, the U.S. does better in relative terms.
In other words, we can hang. We can hang for a long, long time. And they can't. Mohammed El-Erian, folks. Now, you may not hear a lot of people talking about this, but that was heard by every talking head and talking head wannabe in the finance world. It went off like a nuclear bomb. The possibility we could win, we could totally redo the international financial landscape in a way that is beneficial to the U.S.? Uh-huh. You heard it here, folks, on this show months ago. Texter writes, Tara, parents who teach their children about firearms must also teach about the propaganda war against gun ownership. The left are bullies and depend on our fear to progress. Teach our kids to stand their ground. Texter writes, love the show, Tara. Thank you. Why is it that judges and politicians on the left are so lax on pedophiles and sex traffickers? I think I know why. They are evil. Yeah, there is only one thing the left values, and that is power. They will do anything to get it. You can find examples of that over and over and over in history, no matter what name they are calling themselves by at the time. Now they're the progressives. They've gone by many other names. But the destruction that results is always the same. Texter writes, hey, Tara, watch that movie Hostel. Some of those torture chamber scenes are actual footage, and those are not paid actors. Wait, what? That's what I get for reading the text line verbatim. Is that true? I don't know. I have to look it up. The liberal Democrats don't give a blank about kids, America, or anything else except their own power and wealth. Yep, I just said that. Now, the texter writes, I'm a psychic. I see what's going on. You don't have to be psychic to see the corruption in the liberal left Democrat agenda. Texter writes, why is somebody who abandons Formanthold not charged with first-degree attempted murder? Yes, we asked that earlier. And here's another question, too. Mohammed El-Erian's just weighed in on CNBC. This is huge. I played the audio for you. Yeah, we'll win the trade war. Oh, and there's a massive upside for the U.S. It's going to put us back on the top. Trade-wise. Yeah, there are big risks. I've told you that, too. Oh, but the gains are massive. Potentially massive. He says the markets haven't recognized it yet. And that they've already priced in any sort of destruction or, you know, bad things happening because of it. Like this was a tsunami over the weekend for El-Erian to come out and say that. I mean, his predictions are, again, legendary. Don't take my word for it. Again, here is the CNBC host.
And your predictions tend to be accurate, so one could call them tomorrow's headlines. We're going to kick it up here.
Wow. We're going to win the trade war? Going to be much better off for the U.S.? That's an interesting prediction. Can't think where I've heard it before. Where I've heard it explained exactly like he explained it. But then again, if you understand what Trump is doing, a sixth grader could figure out why we have the upper hand. Here. I've explained it many times. If you haven't heard it, you can listen to the podcast. All right. Meanwhile. You want to boil down everything that is wrong. Everything is wrong with the left in our country, the lawlessness, the anarchy that they advocate on a daily basis. There is no better interview to listen to than this one. Plus, it'll crack you up. There's a new mayor in San Francisco. Her name is London Breed. And she says, you know, she grew up, she's a Democrat, she grew up in San Francisco. And, you know, she's concerned because, you know, they're beginning to lose, like, conferences, groups that used to come in, you know, to have their meetings, to have their big annual shindig or whatever. Because, I mean, nobody can go on the street because they're covered with excrement from the homeless. Here's London Breed on this. You know, she's asked, are you going to do anything different about that?
You're a native of San Francisco. Is this the worst you've seen it?
I will say that there's more feces on the sidewalks than I've ever seen, you know, growing up here. That was something that wasn't the norm.
Than you've ever seen.
Than I've ever seen, for sure. And that is a huge problem. And we're not just talking about from dogs. We're talking about from humans.
Hmm. Now, keep in mind what I've told you. The left's aim at every level, whether it is the absolute base level or all the way on up to the presidential level, dual justice system. Rules do not apply to their voters, ever. Laws don't apply to their voters. Criminal charges should never be leveled at their voters, ever. This is their ruling philosophy. But the law ought to be applied in absolute minutia to anyone who's not with them. That's how they operate. This is why there's feces all over the streets of San Francisco, so much so that they have to use that folks have to use an app when walking so they can avoid the worst areas of poop. So she's asked, this is a classic example of what I'm talking about. She's asked, okay, so, you know, what are you going to do about this? I mean, this is obviously a problem.
We have to make sure that people who live here, sadly, people who are homeless here, that they're also held accountable for taking care of our streets. This is our home.
What do you mean by that?
Like, for example, I met with service providers in District 5 in the Haight-Ashbury community. And one of the things that I said to them is, you work with many of these individuals. I work hard to make sure that your programs are funded. And what I am asking you to do is work with your clients and ask them to at least have respect for the community, at least clean up after themselves and show respect to one another and people in the neighborhood.
Okay, so just ask them to stop. Please ask them to stop pooping all over the place, the streets of San Francisco. Well, the guy says, well, okay, but, I mean, why not just enforce the law? I mean, why not? Because, you know, right now they don't enforce the law because, I mean, they're Democrat voters. I mean, these laws don't apply to them, you understand? So they're allowed to do whatever they want. If they were Republicans, the streets of San Francisco would be clean and the homeless would be in prison. So she says, well, you know, why not, like, go after them criminally?
Are you talking about harsher penalties?
I didn't express anything about a penalty. I just solicited their help in trying to talk to their clients who, unfortunately, were mostly responsible for the conditions of the streets.
The streets of San Francisco are littered with a dangerous mix of drug needles, garbage, and feces. KNTV, that's a local television station. KNTV's investigative team reported in February after surveying the city's streets. Well, this is a terrible problem. Are you going to do anything about it? Well, no. We would have to apply the law to our own voters. I mean, we don't do that. Like ever. What are you talking about? We just, you know, want to ask. I will ask them nicely to please. 800-347-1063, text line 71307. This is what they're about. We can't apply the law at the border. Those are our voters. We can't apply the law on the streets of San Francisco. Those are our voters. Yep, that's how they operate. That's who they are. That's all you need to understand. All right, time for another raucous edition of Trump Tweets. And the president was on fire over the weekend.
And now, another day of totally tantalizing Trump tweets.
Talk is cheap and tweets are cheap.
On The Tara Show.
America cannot afford a Twitter presidency.
Oh, shut up!
106.3 WORD.
I'm really not a bad person, by the way.
Texter writes, Tara, you know what, before I get into that, hold on. Okay, here's the Trump tweet that I want you to hear. There's only one you need to hear from the weekend. Where is the DNC server, and why didn't the FBI take possession of it? Deep state. Mm-hmm. Yep, that's all you need to know. They've now indicted a dozen Russians. Awesome. based on a forensic analysis. Great. Of what? We don't know. They still have never looked at the server. So how could they have done a forensic analysis? It is the only question the media needs to ask. But they won't. Trump tweets, over the weekend, the Russian individuals did their work during the Obama years. Why didn't Obama do something about it? Because he thought crooked Hillary would win. That's why. Had nothing to do with the Trump administration, but fake news doesn't want to report the truth as usual. Yep. Okay, Trump tweet. I love how he uses this term. The stories you heard about the 12 Russians yesterday took place during the Obama administration, not the Trump administration. Why didn't they do something about it, especially when it was reported that President Obama was informed by the FBI in September before the election? Trump tweet. There hasn't been a missile or rocket fired in 9 months in North Korea. There have been no nuclear tests, and we got back our hostages. Who knows how it will all turn out in the end, but why isn't the fake news talking about these wonderful facts? Because it is fake news. And finally, headed to Helsinki, Finland, looking forward to meeting with President Putin tomorrow. Unfortunately, no matter how well I do at the summit, if I was given the great city of Moscow as retribution for all of the sins and evils committed by Russia over the years, I would return to criticism that it wasn't good enough, that I should have gotten St. Petersburg in addition. Much of our news media is indeed the enemy of the people and all the Dems. All the Dems know how to do is resist and obstruct. This is why there is such hatred and dissension in our country, but at some point it will heal. Listen, all your liberal friends and your family members talking about, there you go. What prison? They got indicted to Russians. Ask them where the server is. They won't know what you're talking about. Where's the server? Oh, the FBI did a forensic analysis. That's all good and well. Came up with the stuff to indict the Russians. Forensic analysis of what? I read all 29 pages. They don't say. They still have never seen the DNC server, Hillary Clinton's campaign servers, or the DCCC server. They've never seen them. So how'd they do the analysis then? Doesn't say. It doesn't say. And they know the news media knows not to ask. That's why Trump asked the question. So you did a forensic analysis without having any raw material to analyze. That's like going to a murder scene. It's like you're trying to solve a murder, right? We're trying to solve a murder. Judge says, all right, okay, you go, right. What's your murder scene? So did you go to the murder scene? No. Did you collect forensic data? No. Did you analyze the body? No. Did you analyze the murder weapon? No. Well, then how do you know who you want to indict here? We talked to some people who were there. You mean the contractor the Democrats hired to write a report about what happened? Yeah, him. Yeah, them. You cannot do a forensic analysis without the body and the murder weapon. They don't have the body or the murder weapon. They have no interest in getting the body or the murder weapon. They have never filed a single legal document to get the DNC to turn those servers over or the Hillary Clinton campaign. And until they do, you can't believe a thing they say. They've never been to the murder scene. They never have. Greg in Piedmont. Good morning.
Good morning. I was just going to make a statement in regards to the San Francisco, the homeless. I was out there about a year ago, and I was very shocked. I wasn't used to that. I went around, I think it was the City Hall building, and three out of the four sides of that building was homeless people. And I'm not talking about sleeping bags or just sitting down. I'm talking what you would see in what we call like these tent cities.
Mm-hmm.
And you could only get into the front door, I guess you would say. But I always thought, you know, something like that, you'd be arrested, I guess, around here for that. But it just blew my mind. It's supposed to be some great city and everything, and the homeless more or less ruled the place. It was kind of embarrassing almost in a sense. I can understand that lady wanting to take care of some of the stuff that has been going on out there.
Well, she didn't really want to take care of it. I mean, because if she did, Greg, she would, she'd actually, you know, punish these people. Now, see, and the interesting thing that you just said, you said, well, you know, it's kind of embarrassing. They're not embarrassed by it. Yeah, the liberal leadership of this, no, they're not embarrassed by it. The poop on the streets and the needles is a badge of honor. It's a badge of their tolerance. It is a signal of their superiority because they tolerate this. They are loving and understanding. They're not going to imprison the homeless. They're not going to make them do what they want. They're not going to do that. That would be cruel. It would be discriminatory. Trust me. If they were embarrassed about the poop on the streets, they wouldn't be doing interviews about it. They're fine with it. It is a virtue signal. It is a badge of honor. Because, Greg, if they wanted to do something about it, if they were truly embarrassed, she would enforce the law. And when asked, well, hey, you know, why don't you tougher penalty? No. I didn't say that. I don't want to be misunderstood as saying that I would actually enforce the law against perfectly good Democrat voters. This is who they are. It's virtue signaling in the form of poop and needles on the streets. It's who they are. It's what they do. It's who they've always been. All right, Chuck in Tryon. Chuck, we got like a minute here.
Morning. How are you?
Good.
I must have missed it when you were talking about Brett Kavanaugh and Rod Rosenweasel last week.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, have you ever seen anything like this before with the president out of the country?
Oh, you mean with what they're doing, Rod Rosenstein?
Yeah, they're sicking 250 federal prosecutors onto looking at his background. Has this ever happened before?
Not federal prosecutors, no. The Department of Justice has looked at the backgrounds of Supreme Court justice nominees, at the behest of Congress before. But Congress did not ask Rod Rosenstein to do this. And for him to put almost 300 prosecutors on this, I'll tell you what it is. This is naked intimidation.
Oh, yeah. And, I'm still waiting. I'm going to enjoy watching whenever President Trump drops the hammer on this fool. And you know he's going to do it.
I hope you're right, Chuck. Rosenstein now has effective control of the DOJ. Rip Van Sessions is asleep, and it doesn't look like that's going to change anytime soon.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.